Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to your place. This is Starla, and we appreciate you all for being here. This is Valentine's Week, and we want to hear your stories about how you met or a romantic gesture or proposal from your sweetheart. And if you'd like to join the conversation, just press 1. And now, without further ado, here's your host, Wild Bill.
Well, how are you doing tonight, Starla?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Well, I'd be doing better if I was home. This has been one of those Valentines, as you know, that I didn't get to be home with my sweetheart with all the plans we have. I tried to put in to be home for Friday so I could be in for the weekend, and I'm just now going to be able to be home tomorrow. So they didn't miss it by much, but they did miss it by a little bit. So Valentine's in some way was kind of a bummer for me. It's one of those holidays that I really enjoy because it's a time that you can set aside for the person that means so much to you to let them know just how much they mean to you. And part of the fun part of doing that is being able to sit across from whoever it is and look them in the eye and just, you know, tell them how you feel about them. So I was trying to find a song. I got a very limited library to scan through out here on the road, so that's probably not one of the best love songs I could find to play for you. But I was thinking of you when I was hearing that song. So kind of started a little corny and a little sappy to some of our listeners. I kind of put some challenge out to some of them because some of the people I grew up with, because I know how they met their spouse and everything. And it's not just that, you know, people could share, you know, how they proposed. And, you know, I know that my son, he did a real elaborate thing, Billy, when he proposed and everything. He went all out to the whole fantasy thing of, you know, what you would think of a proposal. And, you know, some of my other friends, I know how they met their sweetheart and everything. And so I told them they better be careful if they didn't call in that I might tell their story for them. So, you know, it's just whatever someone wants to share. It could be just a romantic evening or something like that, or, you know, a gesture of something that just out of the blue that their sweetheart did for them, or, like we said, how they met, or just anything, you know, that they could share. And I was thinking of so many of the funny parts of our relationship when we got together, and I was trying to think what would be an appropriate thing to share. And I thought, wow, just right off the bat, you know, how we met. And it was kind of funny. I had a buddy of mine that worked at Jim Walter Homes in Little Rock, Arkansas, and he told him he couldn't quit till he found someone to take his place. And so I took the job there because my grandfather was sick. I was driving a truck over the road then. Just had basically got started for about a year before that. And I was loading the truck one afternoon, and I was, you know, getting hungry. And I thought, wow, you know, Domino's Pizza sure would be good. So I called the local Domino's, and this girl came whipping in there in her little red car and jumped out in her Domino's suit and came in with my pizza. And I remember while we were sitting there talking and she was getting her money, it was funny, you know, at that time, Domino's, if your pizza wasn't there within 30 minutes, you know, you got your pizza free. And so I had timed her to see what time she would get there. And I think that kind of aggravated her a little bit. But anyway, she came up, and I asked her, I said, do you know anybody in this area? Because I'd been out of Little Rock for a long time that, you know, my age, dating someone that was single. And she kind of flipped her hair back and made a remark that the best was already taken as she went out the door. And so you have to understand, I'm really dense and slow when it comes to some things. So where it was meant to be thrown out there as a challenge, I thought she was pretty much telling me that I wasn't worth anybody that she knew, and that, you know, she was already taken. So, you know, I just went on with that. But in the conversations, she, you know, told me somehow or another, well, I ordered more pizza, but she came two or three more times and talked about her days off. And so anyway, one day I hadn't ordered pizza in two or three weeks, and I get this phone call through the switchboard and this Domino's Pizza, and this sweet little voice says, "Don't you ever order pizza anymore?" And I told her, I said, "Well, I was thinking about it, but I remembered that it was your day off today." And that kind of surprised her a little bit, and she said, "Well, they called me into work." And so I went ahead and ordered my pizza, which basically I didn't have to order. I just had to call in and tell them what I wanted. And she knew, I mean, I didn't have to say what I wanted. I was called in, so I needed a pizza. And she knew what kind of pizza I liked, so she brought it to me. And anyway, after she delivered my pizza, she just kept hanging around. And you know, I was all hot and sweaty, and boy, she smelled really good. And I remember I was trying to measure nails to put into bags, and I had to weigh them before I poured them in, and I was all nervous with her there, and I was dropping nails all over the floor, and she thought that was so funny. And anyway, I finally asked her, I said, you know, it dawned on me, you know, this is her day off, and, you know, she said they called her in, she's got her uniform on, and she's not leaving. You know, this was her day off. You know, she just wanted to see me. So I'm slow on some things, but I was pretty quick to catch on to that. So I was, you know, sitting there talking to her, and she talked all the rest of the afternoon with me while I was doing my work and shared a pizza with me. And it's really funny to say the way to a man's heart's through his stomach, and I guess that's true because, you know, I was getting first-rate pizza service there. But it turned into an afternoon to where she stayed all day and then went and changed clothes and came back, and I went to my grandmother's and changed, and I think we went out to eat that night, or I really can't remember for sure, but I was just looking back and just remembering how that she thought that, you know, women are kind of conniving there a little bit, you know, that whole thing of it being, you know, they called her into work thing. I would have never thought of something like that in a million years. As much as I pride myself on imagination, I would have totally missed doing something like that. Just, I don't know, I would have never thought of it. But anyway, she was busted because I figured out that it was her off day, and that, you know, the longer she stayed, it was clear. And I finally told her, I said, you didn't have to work today, did you? And she's like, no, I just come in here to see you. And that's what I found out because I asked her, I said, well, you said the best was already taken. And she said, well, I threw that out there to throw a challenge to you. And I'm like, I missed it. It just went right up over my head. I just didn't know. I took it every which way but the way she meant it. So it's one of those things women have to deal with all the time with men. They have to just pretty much lead us by the nose and point us in the right direction for us to figure things out. But do you remember that day, Starla?
Like it was yesterday, but I remember it a little different than you. It took a little bit more time than just a couple times bringing you pizza before I would ever get up the nerve to do something like that. But it was fun.
Well, it wasn't a whole long. I mean, I'm not really good with time and everything, as you know, and numbers and dates and things are almost impossible for me to keep up with. And I will never forget one time she brought me my pizza and I wrote her a check. I didn't have cash, and I had a joint checking account with my grandmother, and I didn't think anything about it. And so anyway, I got a phone call, or was it the next time you came by? I don't remember. But anyway, she came in, and she had kind of these spires shooting out of her eyes, and because I told her I wasn't married, and she's like, who's Nina? And I'm like, what? What do you mean, who's Nina? And she pulled out that check. She still had it. And there it was. And I said, no, that's Nina. That's my grandmother. And she was like, oh, okay. So, because at the time I was staying with my grandmother and staying with her, my grandfather, he had just got out of the hospital and was sick. He had another stroke and a bout of being in there with which he had several of those. It seemed like right around winter time. I never understood what it was, if it was the stress of the weather, or if it's just, you know, that time of year, I never understood what that was all about. But that was so funny, you know. Who is Nina? Boy, that fire was shooting out of those eyes. Of course, she could tell her a couple of stories about me, too, because I was scared to death when we were talking about getting married. And I remember the day we went to get our marriage license, she was looking at me so funny that day when we were in there. And anyway, I was kind of feeling kind of dizzy. I didn't know why. She said she looked over and it looked like all the blood had ran out of my face and my lips were blue. She thought I was going to hit the floor. And I was like, well, you know. I asked her, I said, well, what would have happened if I had to hit the floor? She said she'd have left me there. So I thought, wow, that wasn't very nice. But, and I can remember one night I wanted to really make an impression with her, and I took her to a really, what I heard was a really nice Italian restaurant over by the river. It's kind of like the Spaghetti Factory in Nashville, and it had this thing to where they actually had you sit on these seats that were made like headboards of beds, and so you could. And their slogan was that you could eat at our place in bed. And but anyway, I remember I way over tipped the server trying to show off, And it's just amazing some of the things that you do when you're trying to impress someone and when they're important to you. Do you have any humorous things to add to that, Starla, that you remember back during all that?
You kind of took them all.
I took them all. There wasn't anything else, man.
Well, I remember one time we were at Western Sizzlin', and it was the Sunday lunch crowd, and that area tended to be predominantly Pentecostal. And I hadn't gotten in church, and we were sitting, and I watched Bill watch the girls. And he made a comment about how beautiful he thought they were. And I told him if he thought they were beautiful, he was just going to have to marry one of those, because I would never look like that. I would never, you know, give up my makeup and my blue jeans, and I would never, ever look like that. Well, we see how God planned that.
Yeah, that was funny. I remember that a lot of times I used to try to do things to surprise Starla, too. Like, you know, what was it I hid in a microwave one time to make you think that I forgot Valentine's Day or your birthday or something? And it was, anyway, I told you I thought I'd blown up something in the microwave. If you remember that, and it was flowers or candy or something that I'd got for you. I don't even remember what it was now.
Not ringing any bells.
Not ringing any bells? Oh, she's really hard to surprise, but I always try to do things a little different every now and then to try to. I've made her put together love songs on CDs and stuff to give her, you know, tell her songs that made me think of her and things like that, just to let her know that I think of her out here. There used to be a little song I used to try to sing to her, which you guys are lucky I'm not going to try to attempt that here, but it was a thing that I just called to say I love you, and when she'd answer the phone, I used to sing that to her.
Well, Bill, we have a caller.
We have a caller?
Blog Talk Mom.
Uh-oh. Well, put her on. Let's see what she's got to share with us out of all this.
I think y'all are about the cutest, too, I've heard in a long time. Your dad's just so sweet. And, you know, especially about the microwave, because that took a lot of ingenuity now to figure that out. And then, Starla, you don't remember. Y'all are adorable. You're my Valentine, both of y'all. You make my heart happy and warm, and I got your cards all over my refrigerator. I go by there, and Bill, when he came through one time, when he was working for that other truck line, he I don't remember what the deal was that he had a chance to stay over. And when I was cleaning up the bathroom later, there was this little, I tore off piece of paper. It says, I love you, Mom. And I got it right here on my refrigerator. And that's been several years ago.
Mom's into collecting change, too. Do you remember what I did there in your bathroom?
Yeah, money, money, money. that my favorite color is green. My favorite sound is change jingling around in my little saving jar. But I've been at the clubhouse tonight, and I was telling them that we're going to be on the program next week, and gave out your card, so hopefully.
Are they pretty excited about that?
They seem to be very excited. A little stage fright, and I'll work with them some, though.
Talking about love and romance and everything is so funny. You know, I remember as our children got older, and Jared's birthday parties used to always be where the same guys came over all the time, and they were sitting up playing video games pretty much all night long, and it was ordering a bunch of pizza, and then they were outside playing football. And then all of a sudden one year, there was two girls that were invited to the birthday party. And the guys weren't near as rambunctious as what they had always been before. And it was really funny. The girls, they would, you know, to make sure that they sort of had control of the reins, they would walk off to do something a little bit different than what some of the boys wanted to do, you know. And so, like, the girls could walk outside and they could start throwing the football back and forth. And before you know it, one at a time, all the boys ended up outside. Where before it was always the guys doing their thing. Yeah, we're playing electric football, you know, and then going outside and playing. And I mean, they were just like monkeys. They'd jump on top of each other and wrestle, and it was all prim and proper whenever the girls were added to the picture. And I used to get so tickled about that. And I tease Jared now. He's got a girlfriend that he seems like he's really in love with, and, you know, they seem well suited for each other right now. And I tell him sometimes, man, you just already turned into an old married man. He's like, shut up, you know. But It's just so funny, the relationship between men and women, how, you know, there was a book that Mom had me read part of when I was a kid. She wanted me to read the whole thing, called Games People Play. And when you look at relationships, it is just so funny, you know, how you can be sitting somewhere and just catch someone's eye, and then your eyes linger a little bit. Next thing you know, you feel a flush to your face, or, you know, it can be a simple thing, opening the door for someone and their hand can brush your hand. And next thing you know, it's like, wow, it's like fireworks are going off in your head and you're like, you know, this is the person for me and everything. And then, you know, I look at it years later and it's one of those things that, you know, a lot of that stuff doesn't really ever change. You know, I still have times to where I look at Starla, I look at her hands, you know, those little bitty hands that she has, and I'm just so, I don't know what's the word, to just be just shocked that, you know, something so tiny can, you know, she can just put her hand on the back of my head or something like that, or just kind of, you know, grab my hand and take it. And it just makes my heart go pitter-patter. You know, you think, wow, how can something so small and so delicate, you know, have that much power and that much meaning, but it does. And, you know, it's just, when you give your heart to someone, it's a serious, serious thing. And it's one of those things that can give you some of your greatest satisfactions and give you some of your greatest hurts until you learn to be grown-up men and women. And that's one of those things I learned the hard way about what it means to be grown, you know, what it means to make a commitment. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, I shared with you the Blog Talk Mom about a preacher had made a comment, you know, that God told man to love the woman, but he didn't tell her to love the man. He just told her to obey the man. And I don't think that's one of those things that fits in today's culture very well, but that really, if you look at it, that's the relationship. You know, God loves us. He's going to love us. And, you know, but our first obligation is to obey. But what is so great about that is how that grows into a love within itself that, you know, you cannot put a price upon. What else did you have to share with us, Blog Talk Mom?
Well, I'm really, it just makes my heart warm to know that y'all love each other so much, and I appreciate the program. Of course, your father, naturally, was my husband for 38 years, and you spoke about hands. There is something so important about a person's hands. They say so much about that person. And your dad was a hard-working man, very strong, and in what he believed in, he was a very strong person. And I had been told this week that a family I was involved with, and a gentleman that I had dated at the time that I met your dad, and because of your dad's influence, I got away from that family. And, I mean, there was no, it was just, you know, your dad was very strong in some ways for me. He helped me a lot to be strong. And then I heard this week that person's family was involved in a hideous homicide. It killed a family and burned them. And that's, I'm horrified about that for their sake. But I just am thankful that I do. The love of my life was Jim Lively, and he was chemistry-wise and in every other wise, he was just the love of my life. I think of him now. I'm 70 years old, and now that, you know, the struggles of raising children and making money and all of the things that can cause strife in a relationship are not there. I appreciate him. I appreciate the things. He had just high integrity, great work ethic. He was definitely the love of my life.
Yeah, there was a lot of foundation things, you know, I tried to pass on to our kids. You know, one of the things Dad used to always say that, you know, you don't let anybody talk about your mom, ever. You know, they can talk about me, they can cut down a lot of things, but you never, ever let anybody talk about your mom. That's the woman that carried you and brought you into this world, nurtured you, was there for you, always and always will be. And so that was one of those things he said, even with your mom, because mom's always, don't fight, don't get in trouble at school. And that was like, you do one for that right there, and you're okay with me. I'll take care of your mom. You know, you're learning the right ethic there. You know, you don't let people cross that line. You know, you protect that. That's a valuable thing to you, and you need to realize. And he implanted that in me young, you know, to know. And so I tried to tell the kids that, you know, your mom, she's your mom. She's the one that's always there for you. And, you know, I don't think I did near as good a job with that as Dad did, but it was, you know, he did have very strong things on that regarding relationship and roles that people play. And I remember, though, with his sense of humor, I was looking and I saw where Mark White, which was one of my best friends growing up, his dad had passed away. I think it's been 3 years now. And him and my dad sometimes were characters together, and we had a young couple in our church that got married named Jack and Evadine Coffey. And these were super people. The Brown family, we had known them for a while. And Jack, he was actually my chaperone the first time I got to go out on an actual date. I got to go with him with a group of, you know, young people after a church service. And, you know, we all went out as a group to go out and eat after service. And he was the one that took us. But on the night Jack got married, right after he got married, he wasn't going out of town or to, you know, a resort or something like that. He was going to his house that he had bought there in Beebe. And Dad and David thought it would be just really funny to go over there and knock on their door after they got married. And so that's what we did. And so me and Mark was, you know, drug along with them to go over there, and so they go over and they're knocking on the door, and you know, they'd brought cold drinks with them to bring, you know, to come over and visit. And anyway, so Jack opened up the door, and he was trying to be polite. You know, he was a younger person, they were older, trying to be respectful, and he was sitting there, just kept talking, and Dad's like, well, aren't you going to invite us in? And Jack was like, he looked like he was like a poor little kid hung up between a rock and a hard place. He didn't know what to say and what to do and if he should say anything or what. And so, anyway, Evening came popping up around the corner. She goes, we just got married tonight, and y'all just need to go home to your wives. And pulled him in there, shut the door. And that was the funniest thing. I won't forget that forever. It was just, you know, because she was just tiny. I mean, she was a little old bitty thing. And Jack was a pretty good-sized boy, but she came and took control of that situation, so... That was one of those things you like, Dad and his humor.
I was trying to read here in Ephesians and see if it says for a wife to obey. It says submit, children obey. That's hard to think about obeying a. Oh, well.
Your bad side showing, Mom. Be careful.
I know it. It says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Oh, Richie, you are so good. That was good. Wild Bill, I mean.
I got so many names, the FBI would have a hard time finding me.
I hope everybody knows to press 1 if you've got something to say, because I really invited a lot of people to join us tonight.
Yeah, I was really hoping James would come on tonight. I sent him a text to remind him about the show, because I don't know the story of how he met his wife that he just recently got married. I know they went to school together, and I don't know, you know, a lot of details. But one of the things that just blew me away, especially Starla, was how much he looked like me when I was that age. It just, and it kind of brings you back to remember, you know, how you can sort of live through, you know, your children and things, you know, through that type of thing. I was just like, wow. I don't know. I knew there was something that was, you know, sticking, you know, kind of jumping out at me with the whole thing, but I couldn't really figure out what it was until, you know, Starla nailed it on the head. Like, you know, she said, even his hands and everything, you know, he looks so much like you did at that age when we met. Which I think what she was trying to say to me was that I got ugly.
That's not what I said.
It sounded like that a little bit, didn't it, Blog Talk Mom?
I don't know. I just, I think that one of the sweetest things that happened when your dad and I met, we decided to get married, and we were going to a Justice of the Peace, and I only had one day off work. I don't remember all of that, but he picked me up to go for the ceremony, and when I had married earlier in my life, when I was 18, my husband was killed in an accident later, but we had been married in a courtroom and by just a judge, so I was expecting that same scenario because we hadn't been in church, and he pulled up at his house, and it was friends of their family that was, she was a justice of the peace, was a lady, and had a beautiful home. And they invited us in, and they had cake and just a real pretty table prepared for us. And she went through the ceremony, and from the time I walked in, I felt the presence of the Lord. And then when the lady finished the ceremony, she had us join hands, and she prayed. And she said, the major thing that stood out to me was how she prayed a protection over us and our marriage, and that nothing could come in and tear it apart. And I really felt that prayer, and I know he did too. It changed us. It seemed like while we were just standing there, the reality of the covenant that we were entering into was more real than it had ever been up to that point. And he designed that whole thing. He planned it. I didn't know, have any idea that it was going to be like that.
Wow.
Well, Bill, we have another caller. Go ahead, Joy.
Hello, hello. I'm like Blog Talk Mom. I'm enjoying listening to you lovebirds do your thing. It's perfect for the Valentine's show. And, Mama, I do want to say happy anniversary to you and Daddy. I don't know how that keeps going whenever one of you's already passed over, but I know the love is still there, so I wanted to acknowledge that it is your anniversary.
I didn't know that. You are so wonderful, Rhonda.
Boy, you know, I really am.
You really are. I don't know anything about numbers, but I got a lot of good points.
That's true.
That's great.
Well, my Valentine, on his last birthday, I got candles on his cake, a 4 and a 7 for 47, and he turned 46. So
Aww.
I'm not too wonderful when it comes to numbers either. He looked at it for a minute, and then he said, am I 47? Yeah, sure, I'm up there. And I do love my Valentine a lot. I was listening to you, Blog Talk Mama, when you were talking about the pressures of raising children and all of that being behind you. And I know Starla and Wild Bill can relate to that too. I've heard stories throughout life of people look at each other when the children are raised and they don't know each other, or they don't really have a good relationship, or, you know, they feel this emptiness that they don't have their kids. But that is not the case with us at this point. In my English class, my teacher, she's pregnant, and she's got a 2-year-old that she just can't stop talking about 24/7, and she was talking about somebody being the love of your life, and she said, well, in reality, there's nobody in this class who can understand that except Joy, who the real love of your life is. And she said, Joy, tell them. And she's ready for me to say, children. And I said, my children are teenagers and beyond. I'm back to my husband being the love of my life. I couldn't jump in there with her at all. But I do remember that. I remember when they were my Valentine, you know, and I always loved Ashton, but now we're all the way back to he is my Valentine. Although Kevin did give me a nice little necklace for Valentine's, and it made me happy.
Aww.
And y'all are my Valentines. Love is just in the air. I'm just loving everyone.
What was that the guy from Jack's Creek used to say? I love everybody or something like that. I'm an awesome guy. I love everybody.
I think you're thinking of Borat. Just kidding.
No, he didn't say it with an accent like that, but that's what he used to say it all the time. We'd all be sitting here eating. I'm a nice guy. I love everybody. You know, I had to
the highlight of this show so far has been Starla. You're telling the stories, and then Starla's like, not exactly like that, but okay. I think y'all are going to have a conversation later. And then it was so funny to me when she didn't remember anything ever being in the microwave. She's thinking you've daydreamed that out on the road.
Well, I've left so many messes in the microwave since then, she has a hard time remembering every one it was fake.
She's like, I do remember you exploding something in there. And, Mama, you're not in the chat room. Starla did open up the chat room, so if there's anybody listening who wants to join us, there's somebody in there, guest 4981. We'd love to hear from you, but unless you register, you can't talk in there. You can just see the riveting conversation that we're having, right, Starla?
Right.
Yeah. I had sent a personal invitation to Brother Shield. I would love to hear how they met, him and Sister Shield. I thought, wow, that would be an awesome thing to add to the show. So,
hey, why don't you cry about the people who aren't here? Look at these wonderful, riveting stories we're sharing. My key word for tonight is riveting.
You haven't told us how you met Ashton.
I really hate our meeting story. A year after we met, Nancy and Hammond met at our wedding, and a year after that, they got married. Can I count that? I love their story. We met at a nightclub. Not romantic. I thought he was the cutest thing I had ever seen in my entire life. From the very first moment that I saw him, he was just the cutest thing I'd ever seen in my life. Really, right from the very beginning, I didn't fall in love with him at first sight, but I did feel different about him than I'd ever felt about anybody because he was the cutest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And my girlfriend and I walked by him and his boyfriend, his friend that he was out with, and I like did my hand between their hands. They were gesturing their hands, and I gestured the same way, and he beat me. Before we could sit down at a table, we walked to a table. He already just slid right around there and was there. And he was drunk. This is not a romantic story, but I was accused him of that, and he said, I have ever been drunk in all my life. I thought that was cute. I just thought everything about him was so cute. And then he didn't call me for a week, and I was really sad, but then he did. And he said that he hadn't called me because he didn't have any money, and he didn't want to call until he had money because he didn't want to call and not ask me out. But I thought I was so surprised when he didn't call me, but then he did. And then we were inseparable. And then we got married. Then we had kids, and then we had all the ups and downs and ins and outs that life will bring. And now here we are, and he's the best Valentine of them all. We've had 24 Valentine days together.
Wow.
Yep.
So did y'all do something special romantic this year for Valentine's?
We had a wonderful Valentine's weekend. We had, well, one of the reasons that I'm so happy is I've been supposed to have a room that's my study, and we've been picking at it off and on, but that's what I said I wanted for Valentine's Day, and that's what I got. We got it painted and fixed up, and it's just so nice. It's a place for me to write and read and be, and it's just completely mine, and it makes me very happy. So we were painting a lot of the time, and we went to Outback with our little Valentine, Kevin.
Aww.
That was fun. And he bought me some pajamas. You can never go wrong buying me pajamas. And he really doesn't, he's not, I heard some of my friends saying they feel so sorry for boys because they just can't get it right at this time of year. But I'm not like that. My flowers were $4 flowers that came from HEB, and I helped him pick them out. And my chocolates were not very expensive or any whatever. We picked those out together, him some chocolates. I'm very easygoing on stuff like that. I'm not like, oh, you better do it, and you better do it exactly right and get me what I want and then get my feelings hurt. But I understand those high-maintenance girls are like that, and I'm sure they're worth it in some other way, but that's what he keeps saying, is that he's the luckiest person because his friends tell him, too, how they try as hard as they can, but they just don't get it exactly right, and the girl's always mad on Valentine's Day. But it was a love fest around here, I got to say.
Now, since I couldn't be home for Valentine's and I felt really so bad about it, I had internet for just about 15 minutes, and then that went down where I was sitting, and I was stuck sitting outside of Richmond, Virginia all day, and I was supposed to have been home that weekend, so I was feeling sorry for myself, and I knew everybody was doing their church thing, and, here I was not doing any of that. I'm stuck out here away from everyone. It seemed like there was lack of communication with my work, and so I thought, what can I do different this year, since I'm not there and everything? So I told Starla to go pick her out a dress, and I would pay for it, and which I think what she's doing, we have this little adventure thing that we do where we go to the store, and I pick out clothes, and she models them for me, and then she picks out the one that she likes the best, and then I buy it for her. So I think she's kind of waiting for one of those.
That's a cute little ritual.
It's fun.
Yeah.
I see all those men sitting in the seat looking disgusted, like Dad used to when Mom was shopping. And I was like, I'm going to try to do something different with this. Let's make fun out of it. And sometimes I hand her stuff and she'll look at me like, who are you handing this to? Do you really think I'm going to try this on? So you have to kind of learn that.
Sometimes they're right, though. Sometimes Ashton will hand me something. I'm thinking, do you know me? Do you know anything about me? But then I'll try it on, and he's kind of right. I wouldn't have chosen it myself, but it is cute.
I'm thinking mine don't ever work that way, do they, Starlight?
Oh, yeah, they do. You've got pretty good taste when it comes to my clothes.
She's loving you because of that romantic hand comment. You got all of our hearts kind of melting on that, Wild Bill.
The one thing that I learned really quick is I always try to grab a couple that are, too small for her. Although now she turns that around like, oh, so you're saying I'm fat because I can't wear that size. So I won't ever forget one day I called her babe and she goes, are you calling me a little pig?
That's funny.
Some of that stuff you don't ever win. That's just the guys. Since the garden, that's where we messed up. That's one of the things that's there between men and women, that we'll never get that stuff right. So, some parts always in the right place.
I'm glad to hear you're getting to go home tonight. I was feeling sorry for you when I got that message that sounded like you were going to be in Nashville but not home. Now, that's just wrong.
I don't get to go home tonight. I'm going to be over off Citco Drive till they unload me in the morning because it's too far to go home and then have to fight my way back through rush hour traffic to get there in time to get unloaded at 7 o'clock in the morning.
When are you going to get into Nashville?
Well, I stopped at this place that said no truck parking to do the program, and I told the guy what I was doing. It was by a little grocery store. And he said, well, if my boss comes in, you're not supposed to be there. I will kind of, walk outside and scratch my head. He said, if I do that, you need to leave. So while we were doing the program, he walked outside, scratched his head. So I guess one of those cars was his boss. So I'm probably, I'm in Kentucky right now coming from Bowling Green. So I'm getting closer.
Oh, yeah. You're going to get there maybe at midnight or something, so it's not worth it to try to get home and then fight right back.
Yeah, I'll be home. Yeah, I'll be there probably in the next hour and a half up to the customer. So you probably know where it is because you probably passed by, but it's over before you get to Hundred Oaks. It's where Kraft is right there on the left. If you're coming off of Nolensville Road to come out that way, you'd pass it right there. So that's probably one of the last factories on the left just before you get to Hundred Oaks.
That doesn't seem very far from your house. Well, I'm glad that you're going to be home. Starla, do you care if it's the actual Valentine's Day or you can celebrate Valentine's Day whenever your Valentine gets there?
It's not Valentine's Day without my Valentine, so it's just another day to me. So we can celebrate it late.
All right. Y'all still got it to look forward to.
All right.
The sad thing was that she had to go out with Jared and his girlfriend while they were out on Valentine's. Although, didn't they give you something?
Yeah, that wasn't a bad thing. I
like
that.
He's determined to be sad. The heartbreaking thing. No, we're happy.
No, it was fun. They got me a card and, let's see, they got me some kind of knitted roses. They were cute. And a box of candy, and the card was so cute. Casey, Jared's girlfriend, had written in it about how I had welcomed her from day one, and I was like a mom to her. And Jared,
wow.
He writes in there, "I love you, Mommy. I love you. I love you, your little guy."
Aww.
I mean, you wouldn't think a 21-year-old kid would do that. But
I wouldn't.
It is awesome. I love it.
Not 6'3 and 300 pounds.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say that he wrote that you're like a mom to me. You're also like a mom to me. Mama, did you have a fun Valentine's Day? I know you've been a little puny.
Well, actually, the day itself was... I was very sick, and but when I got to church, the Sunday school teacher, Brother Steve's wife, whose name is Candy, isn't that cute, came up and handed me a whole big bunch of, like, little rosebuds, but they were candy. They were made out of candy.
Oh.
I thought that was real sweet. She, just as I got in the door, she brought it to me. And so it was sweet, and but just... I was talking to a lady tonight. I ran by to get my real sweetheart now is Peanut now. I had to get him some dog food. And this lady was telling me how she works two jobs and takes her mother is in a rest home and she has to make that run. But she just was just telling me how thankful she was to have just, she just kept enumerating to be able to work, to be able to have, still have her mom, to be able to have a car and be able to drive. And I thought, wow, I mean, this lady's working two jobs. But I think in Isaiah it says that the Lord is our husband, and which goes along with the fact that the church is his bride. And that's a pretty fantastic romance there.
It is, especially when you realize some of the fruits that you actually get on this side. And that's not and nothing in comparison to what's going to be on the other side.
Yeah.
So that's one of those things that goes, it's like that song, I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have a clue what's going to happen, but I know it's going to be something awful. So.
And my children, I tell you, I have two of the most wonderful children that anybody, they got to give anybody. I have a daughter named Joy. I mean,
how woo!
And Wild Bill. Woo, woo, woo. And Starla, you are such a sweetheart.
She sounded a little more heartfelt on Starla than she did on us, didn't she, Bill? And I even had to provide my own woo-hoo.
You know, what's funny is when we talk to people at churches and, you know, they come up, people come up to Starla and it's like, I know your mother. Yeah, Bobby Lively, and she's like, that's not my, okay, yeah, you know my mom. She just takes over like she's not even my mom anymore, it's hers, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times that's happened where people come up to her and, I know your mom, I really like her. And then I walk up and they're like, you know, who's this weird guy hanging around off your shoulder?
No, they say, I know your mom and I don't like her. I got a cross there. I have this really cute little pillow on my sofa that my son gave me. It says, I smile because you're my mother, and I laugh because there's nothing you can do about it. Does that sound like Wild Bill, huh?
Oh, cute.
I don't know where that humor comes from, Ennis. Do you, Joy?
From our mother.
Yeah, I think we got a lot of that from Dad. And
yeah,
I know I got a lot of that cornball stuff from Grandpa, too. Some of the things that I think is, you know, romantic is probably just as corny as can be, but it, I don't know. It's just who I am, cornball.
Well, as long as Starla loves you, that's all that matters.
Yeah.
I strain that sometimes, I think, where she's like, I don't know if I love him or not. Not as much today as I did yesterday. Maybe I'll love you more tomorrow.
Oh, that's marriage.
Is that what the definition of marriage is?
When you keep, well, none of us are as lovable on some days as we are on others. Even me.
No way.
Why? Mama, is your Valentine better? Go ahead. You're going to say something nice about me. I do not want to stop it.
I was just going to say, if you have an opinion on something and you're sharing it, don't hold back. You give us exactly, you know, you don't have to wonder, like, is she just being nice or does she really feel that way? If she says it, that's it. Ain't no holding back.
Yeah, pretty clear to understand where I'm coming down on the subject, isn't it? I wish I wasn't as much that way sometimes, because I don't want to be abrupt or mean or any of the things that it sometimes seems like I am, but I'm like what you said. I'm just learning to just, this is who I am. Let's just take it and move on.
Yeah.
Y'all are very, very sweet, Valentines, because you do take my intention. You know that I'm not trying to be mean. Or if I am trying to be mean, that's pretty obvious too. But when I'm not, y'all try to take it how I mean it. And I really appreciate it.
Did we say that. Amen?
Hey.
Then I'm kidding.
Hey, when it, at first, Starla, I was leaning the mean way, but then he melted my heart about your hands. But at first when he said you could just touch the back of his head, I thought, yeah, with a lot of force.
I knew you were going to say
that.
I knew you would say that.
His senses are deadened if he thinks that's just touching the back of his head. What?
I wonder if it makes my heart go pitter-patter.
All of our hearts pitter-pattered a little bit.
Wow.
There was my meanness. You brought it out of me. I was trying to be sweet.
Part of that has to do with being married because, you know, men want to put on their Mr. Fix-It hat, and women
she
want
knocks it
to
off.
Just bend and tell us things and, you know, let it go out, and then they become their normal, sweet person again after they do that, as long as we just listen. Where we mess up is when we try to fix it. So it's still sometimes I mess up on that. I'm like, is this one of those times I'm supposed to do something? Or, you know, I'm ready. You know, but, and it's the same thing with you, Joy. You know, a lot of times you're working through something and I'll let you work through it because I know deep down at the bottom of it, you love me and that, you know, we're family and just like Mom said, there ain't nothing you can do about it. So just get over it.
Well, I wouldn't want to do anything about it even if I could. I'm very, very happy to have the family that I've got. I love you all.
Well, I love you too. I told Russell I was going to tell some stories on him if he didn't call in, but I think I'll wait. Since he's a preacher, I don't want to embarrass him if some of his flock are listening to the archives or checking in on this. A lot of people don't know that Russell and I grew up together. Me, Mark, and Russell was kind of like the three musketeers for year after year after year, and it's funny how we grew apart, but I can call him on the phone, and it just goes right back like we've never been apart. It's just...
Starla, are there any people on the queue who haven't raised their hands?
Yes, there is. There's someone, 601, it's 2345.
Go ahead and let them on, because they told me they were going to call. And I know they
We're down towards the end of the show.
You guys, press one. Press one. You're running out of time. I'm sorry, Wild Bill. Drowned you out there.
Your mics are on. If you'd like to say something. We just drag you in.
Well, they're not going to say anything. I do want to remind everybody that next week there is a clubhouse in Mississippi. It's outside of Florence. It's at a trailer park there, and it's sort of a ministry that Blog Talk Mom started first out of the trunk of her car, and it's advanced to where they're working out of a, God bless them, with a trailer house. And we're going to open up the show next week to let the people that are take part of that, that want to, call in. And so I'm really excited to see what they have to share with us on what they think about the clubhouse and what kind of impact it's made on their life, if any, what they've learned, if anything, and, you know, what they're looking for in their future life, you know, based on what they're learning there at the clubhouse. There's just so many different directions. A lot of it I don't think that they really know yet the impact it has. I know in my life at that age when I first was introduced to things of God that I didn't really understand a lot of things there until years later. So, you know, some of this may be unfair questions to throw out there, but I'm sure there's something that you can share about, you know, what the clubhouse means to you. And did you have anything you want to share about that, Blog Talk Mom?
The children were excited about it when I spoke to them about it. The only problem will be from 9 to 10, because they have to get up very early in the morning. But they all are planning on it. They're going to, I've even thought about staying at the clubhouse. I was there tonight and just, you know, just get them ready and
say that
one by one.
I've been blessed just listening to the conversation.
Brother Sammy? I know he called in. Brother Sammy?
Go ahead.
Hey. How's everybody?
Just fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I've just been enjoying listening to the conversations and everything, and I'd just like to say, as far as the clubhouse is concerned, Sister Lively, she's really doing an awesome job there, and it just really, I mean, you really have to be there to see it in action and to know that God's really moving in the clubhouse, and it's amazing that you can just, I don't know, it's like, you know, sometimes we think, you know, God, I just don't know if you can, but I'm telling you, through Jesus Christ, all things are possible, and there are things that's going on, and it's just really making an impact in the neighborhood, too.
Yes. That is one of those things. I was talking to a Blog Talk Mom on the fact that it seems like Satan's trick is to get us so concerned about economy, so concerned about politics, so concerned about everything but what we're supposed to be concerned with, and that's having the outreach to go share Jesus to the lost. And I share that with her about people doing it. She goes, well, I'm doing it.
There you
I'm
go.
I'm doing my part.
Amen.
So, you know, but it brings us all into focus that we're all called to do that too. It's not just, well, you know, thank God for Sister Lively. You know, it's Wild Bill and Sister Starla and Joy and all of us.
Oh, yeah.
We're supposed to be that light, you know, going out and sharing the love of Jesus. Because, as you say, that's the only thing that's going to change what's happening in people's lives.
That's right. And, you know, it's and you're so correct about that. I heard somebody the other day say, you know what, it's like the church is supposed to be going out into the world, but it seems like the world's trying to come into the church. And so, you know, I don't have a Valentine's, and I know this is about Valentine's, but Sister Lively, she's most definitely my Valentine's, because she's the sweetest ladies I've ever met in my life, and she just she knows how to talk and everything. She does everything to me. She seems like she just does it so perfectly, and I love I met you Wild Bills, and you know, you're a chip off the block there, so keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. And for those that don't know Brother Sammy, he is one of those people that it's amazing how he can always find a way to help people in every situation. When my grandmother passed away, he helped move stuff, you know, and it just, he was a real lifesaver to our family in the way he brought stuff all the way from Mississippi to my home in Spring Hill, Tennessee. And we love you and appreciate you too, Brother Sammy.
Amen.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad I could do it. I'd do it tomorrow if I had to do it again.
Well, we appreciate it. We're running down to the last minute of the show. Does anybody else got anything they want to say before we go off? We're down to 1 minute.
It's been a love fest, as usual.
Yeah. Well, I want to say thank you to everyone that's called in, and for all of you that listen later in the archives or in the chat room, let you know that we want to say God bless you this night and for the rest of this week. And we hope you'll be with us next week as we hear the testimonies of these young people and hear from Sister Lively and what is happening down with this work down in Mississippi. So God bless everyone. Have a good night.